Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports on KOA 107.3 FM. And 7:50 a.m. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy as always to be along with you on the afternoon drive. We talk both local and national sports, and that's what we're doing today. Gearing up for yet another, long day, but a very fun day of local sports. We're going to talk some high school baseball in just a bit. Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbonetto baseball team is going to join us at January baseball. Look, we had a conversation about Major League Baseball yesterday, and so we're going to continue on that route today. We're about a month away from tryouts. That's it. Not that far off. And there is some news developing with the Carbon High School baseball team as they're in search for a couple of new assistant coaches. So we're going to talk to Coach Jeff Cincinnatus about that. And of course, we can't forget that we're just a couple of days away from Championship Sunday in the NFL. It's right around the corner. Some great football this weekend. I'm really excited about it. I got to be honest, I'm starting to think that maybe Jacksonville has a little bit of a chance in this game against New England. I think it's going to be a great game. Not a lot of people would agree with that. It's not the mismatch that it appears to be. Block out the idea of Blake Bortles quarterbacking Jacksonville. Block out the idea of Tom Brady quarterbacking New England to an extent, because this Jacksonville defense is very, very good. And I think they have a little something for New England. I think we got a very entertaining game. I like that game a lot more than I like the Vikings-Eagles game. Because while Philly has a terrific defense, I just don't know if offensively they're going to be able to muster up anything in this game with Minnesota. We're going to talk NFL football. And again, these games are going to be on Sunday. Jacksonville, New England at 1:05. Minnesota, Philadelphia will follow at 4:40. We're going to bring in Brian Mejia, our NFL Drive Time Sports Insider, to talk some NFL football. That's coming up on the show today. Let's take a look at some of the national sports headlines. We'll begin in the NBA. Aaron Aflalo has been suspended 2 games for throwing a punch in this contest, Orlando in Minnesota just the other night. What is it with these UCLA boys? We had Trevor Ariza getting into it with the Los Angeles Clippers, and now Aaron Aflalo throwing a punch at Malika the other night for Orlando. Crazy, crazy time in the NBA. We're starting to see some fights once again. It's refreshing. That sounds horrible, right? We're starting to see some fights, and I view that as refreshing. It is, though. Because for so long, I've complained that the NBA is getting too soft. And the players' union, the way the players' union is built today, it's kind of an us, and by us, I mean the players versus the owners and the teams and even the fans. And so to see players going toe-to-toe with one another on the court, I'm kind of enjoying it. I never thought I would say that, because I'm not that kind of guy. I'm very old school when it comes to sportsmanship in that regard. I'm enjoying it. Aaron Aflalo, worth 2 games to see somebody throw a punch at somebody else on the court in the NBA. I know that sounds terrible. I get it. Sounds bad. But that's the way I feel right now about the NBA. Let's take a look at what's happening tonight, because we have all kinds of action. And as far as national televised games go, not too bad. 5 o'clock tonight, we get Philadelphia on the road. They'll take on the Boston Celtics. Start time for that game is at 5 p.m. It'll be on TNT. Second game at 5 o'clock tonight is Orlando at Cleveland. And then in the 7 o'clock hour, second game of the doubleheader on national TV. Love this matchup, Minnesota and Houston. It's a preview of what we're going to get in the second round, because I believe Minnesota stays number 3 without Kawhi Leonard. In San Antonio, Minnesota is going to be your number 3 seed. I think Houston stays at number 2. That's a preview of what we get in the second round. You'll see that tonight, national TV, 7:30 start time, Minnesota at Houston. Nightcap tonight, we get Indiana and Portland. Now, speaking of nationally televised games, I've got a lot of grief for what I said about the Lakers earlier this week. And that's fine. I understand that not everyone likes Lonzo Ball. And this is the only reason I'm going back to it, because I caught a lot of grief for saying he's the most important rookie in the league this year. Lakers were on national TV last night. I got to watch the replay of this game at like 1 in the morning. Watching the Lakers without Lonzo Ball is horrible. Okay, I've been able to stomach, you know, like Philadelphia, when Joel Embiid isn't playing, and I know he's not a rookie, but I think he's the most important player on that team. I've been able to stomach it. I know Donovan Mitchell's just completely lit the league on fire for 30 out of the 42 games that he's played in this year. He's been great, averaging 19 points a game, you know, 3 rebounds per contest. He's the spark plug for the Jazz. I get it. The Lakers without Lonzo Ball are horrible. Worst team in the NBA. Statistically, get a load of these stats, and this is just going to back up what I said earlier on in the week, and I'm only going back to it because I've caught some grief for this. When Lonzo Ball plays, the Lakers have won 15 games. When Lonzo Ball has not played, they haven't won a single game. When he's playing, they're allowing 107 points a game, which is not good to begin with. But when he's not playing, they're giving up 124 points a game. When he's playing, they're being outscored by 1. When he's not playing, they're being outscored by 16. And he also really improves his team defensively in field goal percentage allowed. When he's playing, teams are shooting about 44% from the field. When he's not playing, they're shooting about 52% from the field. Huge discrepancy. Most important rookie in the NBA. And if you got to watch that game last night, that team is terrible. They're terrible. And I know in the state of Utah, Jazz fans love it when the Lakers are terrible. When Lonzo Ball's not playing, there's no reason to watch that team. Complete and utter garbage right now. So I didn't want to spend a whole segment talking about Lonzo Ball because it's not relevant to this market, but I had to throw that out there. Because I know nobody likes the kid because of his dad. I get that. That kid's a ball player. Can flat out play the game of basketball. That's a quick look of really what's a slow day in the national sports front. I guess this is some important news. We didn't talk about this yesterday. Tom Brady injured his hand yesterday in practice. He was accidentally ran into and he jammed his hand. Did not practice today after that hand injury yesterday. Was seen out on the field during part of the session, which was available to the media, but he was listed by the team as a non-participant. That was Mike Reese of ESPN breaking that news. Brady was wearing a glove on his throwing hand, something that is not real standard for Tom Brady when you take a look at practice. He's going to be fine. I'm actually amazed that he's even out there on the field at this stage in the game, considering that the NFC or the AFC Championship is going to go down on Sunday. Tom Brady injures his hand yesterday. He's going to be just fine. We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more coming up here on Drive Time Sports. Again, when we return, we're going to be joined by Coach Jeff Cincinnatus. And later on in the show, Brian Mejia will join us over the phone as we talk NFL football. Thursday edition of Drive Time Sports here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. Last night, the Emory Spartan boys basketball team suffered a heartbreaking 90-86 loss to the Grand Red Devils in a shootout on the road in Moab. The game went back and forth throughout the entire night, and unfortunately, it was Emory coming up just shy in the four-point setback. The game was tied entering the fourth quarter, and Grand managed to outscore Emory 25-21 in the final 8 minutes. Despite the setback, the Spartans had a beautiful night offensively as they spread the ball around, led by Kyson Stilson's 18 points. Both Easton Gordon, Cade Brazier, and Brax Jensen all scored 16 points apiece as Emory knocked down 8 three-point shots throughout the game. Coming off of the bench, Alex Orozco lit a spark for the Spartans as he scored 6 points. Tyler Butler scored 8 from the starting position. Grand was once again evenly spread out offensively. Both Kevin Park and Cameron Hoppenstead scored 17 points apiece, while Josh Jones chipped in with 16. The loss last night moves Emory to 2-3 in region play and puts them in fifth place. The Spartans will have an opportunity to bounce back when they return to the court tomorrow to take on the San Juan Broncos. So far, San Juan is just 1-4. They trail Emory by 1 game, and they are tied with Richfield for the final playoff spot out of Region 15. Now we stick with boys high school basketball, but we move over to Carbon High. And last night, the Dinos suffered a 4-point loss as well. They fell to American Leadership Academy 68-64 at home. The back-and-forth contest was a tale of two halves. Corbin took a 9-point lead into the break, but ALA outscored Corbin 21-5 in the third quarter to take control. The Dinos fought back and even outscored ALA in the final quarter, but still came up just 4 points short. The Dinos are now 3-3 in region play, and that puts them in fourth place in region 14. Now the Dinos will have an opportunity to bounce back tomorrow. They return to the court. This time, it'll be a home contest against the Delta Rabbits. This will mark the second time the two teams have gone toe-to-toe this year. Delta won the first one back on December 20th by a final score of 65-45. We stick with basketball, and tonight on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the USU Eastern Eagles men's squad will return to action as they travel on the road to meet the Snow College Badgers. Now, USU Eastern is currently 1-1 in Scenic West Athletic Conference play after suffering a triple overtime loss to Salt Lake. The Eagles bounced back with a big victory over Colorado last week. Snow College, on the flip side, is sitting 0-2 in region play. They suffered a 4-point loss to CSI and then another 4-point loss to the Salt Lake Community College Bruins. Live coverage of tonight's contest will begin at 7 p.m. with the Landon's Diesel Service pregame show, and you'll hear from Coach Vando as we gear up for the contest. Tip-off is set for 7:30. Now, while the men will take the court tonight, the women will actually start the doubleheader action at 5:30 p.m. The Lady Eagles enter in a similar situation. They are 1-1. After falling to Salt Lake in the conference opener, they bounced back with a hefty victory over Colorado Northwestern. We jump back over to high school sports, and the Emory High School swim team will complete the 2017-2018 regular season as they travel on the road to Richfield. Now, this will be the final meet before the region championship tournament next week, which will then take place just 2 weeks before the state competition, the first week of February. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll bring you the results from the meet as soon as they become available. Taking a look at some of the other action that will be taking place throughout the high school classifications today, the Carbon High School wrestling team will travel on the road to meet South Sevier. The Carbon High School girls basketball team will continue region action. They are on the road to meet the Delta Rabbits. And the Emory Lady Spartans will also travel on the road. They will take on the San Juan Broncos. All that action will take place tonight. We'll recap it tomorrow during the local sports news segment. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things. Play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
It's been a while since we've talked some local baseball here on the show. We're going to do that right now. Break up the monotony of the winter sports season. Let's talk some spring sports here for just a moment. Baseball's not that far off. I mean, we had a Major League Baseball conversation on the show yesterday, and the fact is we're less than a month away from pitchers and catchers reporting. What does that mean for high school? Well, tryouts are about a month away. For Carbon High School, Coach Jeff Sinceridis will be returning as manager, but he's going to have a new bench this year as far as coaches in the dugout. He's joining us right now to talk about that and some of the key dates. Coach, always a pleasure to get you in the studio. I appreciate you stopping by today.
I appreciate you getting me in. Yeah, it sounds kind of funny, you know, talking baseball already, but, you know, within a month or month and a half, it'll be here, and maybe the weather outside is kind of getting us some hope that, you know, baseball season will be a little bit different around here, but it's going to be here before we know it.
It definitely is, and I know there is some news right now. You guys are looking for a couple of assistants on the baseball team, and if you need any information on that, you can find it at the district's website. What exactly are you looking for as far as baseball coaches, assistant coaches?
Well, Jordan, I really got to hire a couple baseball coaches, assistants, one at the varsity JV level and probably one possibly two at the sophomore freshman level. I mean, I'd like to have at least three coaches with each of those groups right now. And, you know, we had some guys leave after last year. I lost a really good assistant, Joe Villa, who moved out to Idaho. And right now he's been in contact with me trying to do some stuff with their baseball program out there. And I'm trying to give him any help I can. And Chad Fieschko was an assistant we had for a few years, and he's not going to be back this year. So we're needing to replace those two. And, you know, it's just tough. My baseball staff right now is made up of coaches who don't work in the school district itself. They all have outside jobs, and, you know, doing that makes it tough sometimes to be there all the time. So I'm just trying to put together a staff that I know can muster it and be there for the most part and get everything taken care of. So, yeah, you can go on to the district website and apply for those assistant baseball jobs. Obviously looking for people with experience. I mean, we've been a baseball community for a long time, and I kid around a lot, and, you know, I have people telling me all the time things I should have done different and how I should do them. So we must have a lot of baseball coaches in our area. So, I'm always looking to learn more myself as a coach and get somebody who can bring a lot to our program. I'm excited about our program this year and definitely don't want, any reasons for us to not be successful.
Well, with that being said, Open Gym is underway. So right now you're kind of manning the Open Gyms, I would assume, a little bit by yourself. But this is just an avenue for the kids to get in and start slowly getting back into baseball shape, right?
Yeah, Open Gym time rolls around. I start it back up first of the year, and I hate being in the gym. I'm the first one to say I think it's hard to get better in the gym. I mean, you can have your pitchers throwing bullpens, which I think is okay, but fielding ground balls, even hitting in the cage we have, at the high school, I'm more apt to just hitting off the tees and doing tracking work than I am trying to hit, any kind of live in the cage. But gym time's tough with us. I mean, we have one gym at the high school. You throw 40 or 50 kids in there on an open gym night, and it's just too crowded. We did get outside yesterday trying to take advantage of some of this nice weather we're having. Hopefully it'll still hold up. I know it's supposed to get a little bit worse weather this next week. But, yeah, as you said, open gym time is just to try and get the kids back in, try and get some arms strengthened up, and get going with things. And, and along with those assistant coaches, there are a lot of things that they have to do first. They've got to do a background check with the district. They've got some classes online they have to take. So there is some legwork that has to be done with those coaches too before they're available to get in and start working with kids also. So, yeah, it's been, I've had a little bit of help, but not a lot as far as open gym goes. But, we're getting some work done right now.
I know we're about a month away from tryouts, and we can talk about that in just a moment. But as far as the amount of kids that you've had at open gym, especially during the winter sports season, which is pretty hectic when you talk about swimming and wrestling and basketball, I mean, drill team, there's a lot of sports that kind of pull kids away from spring sports or from fall sports in the winter. What's the turnout been like?
It's been pretty good. I've coached at the high school for a long time, being a head basketball coach and an assistant there, that I want the basketball players to know that basketball is still the most important thing going on right now, even though you want to try and get them to an open gym for baseball and start getting them ready for baseball. And, same with the wrestlers and swimmers. Their season right now is the most important thing. If we can squeeze a day in when they can get there and start refining some of their baseball skills, I think they need to. But we've had a really big group of younger kids, a lot of freshmen, sophomores there, a pretty decent group of juniors and seniors. But, the overall numbers have been, 30 or 40 guys for the most part, which, you think about that, sounds like a lot, and it is a lot, especially when we'll keep between 30 and 35 players on our team. But, we'll probably see 50 or 60 when tryout rolls around too. So, you've got maybe half of the kids right now that aren't coming to open gyms that are probably still going to try out for baseball. And that just makes it tough. I tell the guys, we have 2 or 3 days of tryouts. It's hard to look at 60 kids in 2 or 3 days. So I tell them, open gyms right now are basically a tryout. I want the same effort given in an open gym that they're going to give in tryouts. And we're looking at them from a coaching standpoint, and we're evaluating them right now to make tryouts that much easier. So, it's important to get to the open gyms right now. At the same time, I do want their focus on their particular sport they're still in, because, those are the most important things going on right now. But baseball's going to sneak up on us, and it's going to be here in a hurry, and, we're going to be behind the eight ball before we know it.
Well, and baseball is such an interesting sport to begin with, because there's so much played in such a short period of time. You don't really have much of an option. You have to dive right into tryouts almost immediately following the basketball season, because your baseball season, it's a lot of games played in about a month and a half.
Yeah, we actually, we'll play a game less than a week after tryouts are completed. And so, you don't get tryouts and then get 2 or 3 weeks to practice a lot of the times like you do with basketball season. I know you have a couple weeks to get a lot of practice time in after tryouts before we start playing games at the basketball season. But baseball, we're playing a game less than a week into our season after tryouts are over. So, you're right, we don't have a lot of time. And then obviously the weather is a big deal here. We may not even be outside, before our first game with tryouts and stuff. So, that we have a lot of stuff working against us as far as baseball goes at the high school season here. That's why, the summer program has been so important for me, and I've been doing it for so long, because I really think that's where you refine your skills and you do some things to make your high school program better, so that those kids have gotten a lot of work in, before high school season rolls around, because the high school season is tough. It's like you said, a lot of games, short amount of time. I really think the kids are still developing at the end of the high school season with some of the things they got going on, and don't ever reach their full potential by the time high school ball's over, at least for us. I mean, again, we've always talked about the St. George squads and some of the other places where they're outside constantly year-round. You know, they're hitting live off live pitching down there right now. And, you know, I'm hoping with the realignment changes and moving some teams around, and I think most of the 3A schools are kind of in the same boat we are now with weather and things like that, that it's going to help us out. But, you know, we'll just see how that plays out too.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbon Dino Baseball Squad. Coach, if we look ahead, I know the preseason schedule is almost complete. Not quite, but almost complete. It's pretty challenging for you guys. I mean, you mentioned you're going to start on March 6th against Springville. You're going to take that annual trip to St. George, and you've actually gone outside the 3A classification for your schedule this year.
Yeah, we play a lot of big schools in our preseason. We've got Mountain View, Provo, Salem Hills all on our preseason schedule. You know, those are all big schools, you know, in the Utah County area. We'll also play Desert Hills, which, you know, moved up to 4A this year, who's been a predominant power down in the south. You know, I feel good about our preseason schedule. When we do go to Dixie for the Pizza Hut Classic at the beginning of the year, you know, most all them teams now are going to be a higher classification than us also. So, you know, I'm excited about our preseason schedule. Again, you know, we talk about it always. We're going to probably take some lumps in that preseason schedule. You know, I mean, it's not a flashy, you know, wins and losses usually when we come out of preseason, but hopefully it's prepared us more for our region schedule than anything. And, you know, I tell the kids, we just talked about it yesterday. Again, I've mentioned it before, we're not winning a state championship, you know, right now, or even our first game or our first five games, but we're working towards that goal. And we got to continue to get better every day that we step on the baseball field or right now in the gym, whatever it happens to be, if you want to accomplish that goal come, you know, come middle of May. So, we're excited about the upcoming baseball season. I'm excited about the players we have returning. I'm excited about some of the off-season work I've seen some of our guys putting in the weight room and doing some different things. And, you know, we just need to continue to get better every day.
Now, you're a fairly young team last year, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, we were. I mean, we lost some great seniors from our program last year, but we had a lot of underclassmen playing key positions for us and doing a lot of great things. Our pitching staff was made up of mostly underclassmen last year. You know, I feel really confident about our pitching staff coming in this year and some of the defensive things that we can do. You know, I'm excited as a whole about our program and where it can go now, especially competing against schools our own size and things like that. I just think it's going to be a lot better for our program. At the same time, I'm still challenging our guys, especially, like I said, in the preseason, of playing outside of, you know, our own 3A classification. So, you know, we're not going to back down to anybody, and you know, we're going to play as hard as we can every day. But I am excited about where we're going to be, hopefully, at the end of the year.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question for you as far as the classification goes. I mean, now we're familiar with it in football because it's completely different than any other sport. But we're moving through a basketball season right now with this new classification. Your thoughts on what it's going to look like for baseball? Because it's changed basketball completely.
It has, and you know, baseball is going to be one of those that we're going to find out, too. I mean, some of the teams in our region, you know, I don't know a lot about their baseball programs. I mean, it changes so much from one year to the next with these private schools, you know, depending on who they have there for a particular year. One year they can be really, really good. Next year they can be twice as bad. So, you know, I have no idea what the private schools are bringing back for a baseball program. I know some of them don't have younger programs, which is going to make it tough on our younger kids. You know, I've got to try and schedule some outside games for them. But, you know, I mean, I do know the JUABs and the unions that are in our region and the Deltas. You know, they always put a competitive team on the field and are been getting better every year with their new coaching staffs that they've put together. So, you know, those teams are obviously going to be tough for us to beat in our region. But you just never know what you're going to get with these private schools coming in. And we're seeing that with basketball on the boys and girls side. I mean, it just varies from year to year with those schools and what they bring to the table. And so, they could be really good this year, for all I know. They could be really bad. You know, I mean, we won't know till we step on the field and play against them or see how they're faring against other competition in the preseason too. So, again, I say this a lot. I'm more worried about our team than any other team that we play against, because I feel if we play to our potential and we're doing the things we should be, you know, we can play with anybody. And if we're not doing those things, we can also play down to the level of anybody. So, for us, it's about getting better and working on our stuff right now. And just, you know, only controlling what we can control and moving forward.
Coach, before I let you go, we do have some key dates, including open gyms, tryouts, and, of course, the current situation as you guys are looking for some assistant coaches. You want to go ahead and give us all those dates before
I
let you go?
Yeah, I mean, open gyms right now, basically every Monday night. We are swapping times with softball. I believe this next coming Monday night we're at 6 o'clock, and then the following Monday night we'll be at 7:30. So we are swapping times with softball. And then, you know, the other day during the week just depends on our basketball programs on whether they're playing at home or away. And we are trying to get two nights a week right now, usually probably going to be a Wednesday or a Thursday night, depending on the basketball schedule. I believe next week we're going Monday, Wednesday at 6 o'clock, you know. So I've had some eighth graders coming. You know, I would really like to just limit it to high school players right now. But you know what? If we've got some great younger guys that want to come and play and get work in, I'm not going to turn them away. You can always call me, too, and find out when else we're going and what else we're doing. I don't have a problem. I mean, I try and bring along as many baseball players in our community as I can, regardless of age. But as far as high school goes, that's what we're looking for. Tryouts start on February 26th. They'll be February 26th, 27th, 28th. Early this year. I mean, we're into February with tryouts for baseball. It sounds ridiculous, but, you know, it is a little bit earlier this year with the way the schedule falls. First game is March 6th, like we talk about. So, I mean, it's right around the corner. State tournament this year is, I believe, about the 10th of May. So it's going to be here before we know it, and we'll just have to, you know, move forward and see how things go. We will have a youth camp again. Sometime in April, I'm trying to finalize some dates so that we can make sure we get as many youth out to our camp again as possible. We may try and run it during the week for a couple hours on different nights, or we may just do it on a Saturday again. But we'll make sure we get back in and get those dates on the webpage and on the radio so you know, kids know when to sign up for our youth camp, because I think that's a great way for us to show them what we're working on. It also gives me a great opportunity. I mean, some of the kids that are playing on my high school team now were kids that I seen 5 years ago in this youth camp, and you can kind of get an idea of what kind of a player a kid is going to be and what kind of work he wants to put in just by looking at him, you know, in these camps. So always a good thing to have, and we'll get those dates finalized when we get them, Jordan.
Coach, I always look forward to the conversations. Thank you again for stopping by. I know we're going to be talking a lot more baseball here in the very near future.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And again, you know, I want to wish all of our schools, you know, with luck with the winter sports as they're kind of getting ready to wrap up their region schedules and start moving forward. You know, we've got some good basketball teams here in Emory County, and they're fun to watch. And I wish all of them the best, that they continue to push forward to a state championship, and wrestling and swimming and everything else that's going on in the wintertime. I wish them all the best.
Coach, thanks. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks.
Definitely. That's Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbon Baseball Squad. Again, they're going to hold tryouts February 26th. We'll talk more baseball in the coming weeks as we get set for the upcoming season. Got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, we're going to move over and talk NFL football. Championship Sunday, it's approaching. It's right around the corner. We'll talk NFL when we return.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ron Artest, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan. This is must... Say it again. Buscarini? All right. Jordan Buscarini. All right, with Jordan Buscarini. Shout out to Queens, where you already know.
Coming to you live from Price.
Put that cookie down!
Price, Utah.
Now!
Me and my man, Trav.
Yeah!
Love Price. Price is awesome.
Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini and Travis Anderson on KOAL AM 750. Eastern Utah's main source for local sporting news.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. Want to talk some NFL football. We're closing in on Championship Sunday. We get two games this weekend. We get the Jaguars and the Patriots, which I think is going to be a very interesting game. And then on top of that, we get the Vikings and the Eagles. Joining us right now to talk some NFL football, as he has all year long, we have Brian Mejia, our NFL insider. Brian, a pleasure as always to get you on the show. Thank you.
Always great to talk to you, and let's get ready for Championship Sunday, right?
Championship Sunday. It's a big, big weekend, obviously, and I think we have some interesting matchups. First off, I want to get your opinion on the New England Patriots and the Jacksonville Jaguars. And this is a little bit of a tidbit. I don't know if this is going to play a factor into Sunday's game, but Tom Brady did jam his hand yesterday in practice. I don't know how severe that is. I don't know how significant that is, but I think it's something to monitor. The fact is, this guy is 40 years old. He's going up against one of the best, if not the best, defense in the NFL. That's a storyline to pay attention to.
Well, definitely. We'll see what he does against the Duval pass rush. That's what they like to call themselves, the Jacksonville Jaguars. They have one of the best defenses in the NFL, if not the best, like you said. You know, them and the Minnesota Vikings, who are obviously playing this weekend as well, are the two best defenses in the NFL, and the Eagles aren't too far behind as well also. But when you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, they're a team that can create pressure with their front four and drop eight into coverage. And, you know, it'll stop the run as good as you would think a defense that talented can. But obviously they're still up there in terms of, you know, pass rush, pass defense. They have two of the, I think this is the best pair of corners in the NFL, and actually I also think that, you know, Ramsey is the best corner in the NFL, and Boye is the top two or top three corner in the NFL. So obviously the Jacksonville Jaguars are the best defense the Pats are probably going to face this year, and they're a defense that comes after you and doesn't let up, and they're a defense that has no problem going into New England and winning that football game on Sunday. I actually do think they will go to New England and win that football game on Sunday. I don't see why they can't. I think Jacksonville has the recipe to defeat Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. I think it's something that, you know, a lot of people are going to be looking at, and obviously we're going to hear, oh, you know what, Bortles this, Bortles that. But you know what, the one thing I will say about Blake Bortles is in these two games against the Bills and, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers, which, you know, obviously they beat and they dominated that game. I know the score was a 10-point, 3-point score, but they dominated that whole football game. And, you know, they won the game, and they won it pretty convincingly, in my opinion. And I think they could do the same thing to the Patriots. I don't see why this team can't go into New England and win this game. And you know what? I actually do think they will go into New England and win the game. I think they will be going to the Super Bowl. I think, you know, it's something to go against Brady and Belichick, but at the same time, Tom Coughlin, Doug Marrone, and that whole staff look like they have the recipe to go in there and win.
Well, I've said this multiple times this week, and I'm going to go back to it. The whole idea of, well, Blake Bortles can't beat Tom Brady, stop with that, because that doesn't play a factor. Like, Tom Brady is not going up against Blake Bortles. He's going up against the Jacksonville defense. Blake Bortles is not going up against Tom Brady. He's going up against New England's defense. Here's the key for me, Brian, in this game, and going back to what you said about the Steelers contest. I thought the momentum was about to turn multiple times in that game, but Jacksonville always had an answer, and nothing was bigger than when Telvin Smith took a fumble back 50 yards for a touchdown. That completely changed the complexion of that game. Now, Jacksonville is number two in the NFL in scoring defense. Tom Brady's had a lot of success with scoring defense in the playoffs once before. I think he's 3-0 against top three scoring defensive teams that he's gone up against in the playoffs, but Jacksonville has to figure out a way to score defensively, or at least put their offense in a position to score quickly off a defensive turnover. It's all about possessions in this game. So if Jacksonville can find a way to swap a possession in some sort or another, I think they have a chance to win this game. But that's how they get it done. Defensively, they have to score a touchdown or at least cause a turnover deep in New England territory.
One thing I spoke to somebody about this morning was the Steelers are the most talented offense in the NFL. I don't think anybody has as much firepower as the Steelers.
Agreed.
And the difference between them and New England is New England has the composure and the calmness to execute their offense at a very high level, and that's why they're so successful on offense every year. So that's the big difference right there. But when you look at the defense for the Pats, I mean, nobody would start from the New England defense on the Jacksonville defense. There's no starters from that team that would start on the other team. Obviously, I think on offense, I'm pretty sure Fournette would probably start at running back for the Patriots, but that's about it. But it's a very evenly matched opponent in terms of defense versus offense. And I don't know. I just think Jacksonville has the recipe. I think Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone have the recipe to beat the New England Patriots this Sunday.
Again, we're being joined right now by Brian Mejia, our NFL Drive Time Sports Insider. I said this yesterday. I want to get your opinion. The matchup I can't wait for. I cannot wait to see Ramsey on Gronk because it's going to happen more than a couple of times in this game, and that is the can't-miss matchup.
Most definitely, and I think he's a guy that can move all around the field, and he will move all around the field, and I feel like he's going to cause havoc like he always does. He's the best corner in the NFL. I don't think bar none. I think he's the best corner by far, and I don't think it's even close to anybody being close to him in terms of how good he is on the outside. He's just a tremendous football player. Obviously, he likes to talk a lot, but that's fine. All the great corners like to, and he's very, very high on himself, and obviously everybody should be. He's one of the best corners of all time, in my opinion. His talent is not to be, diminished. He's what it is. He's, obviously the best corner in the NFL, and if he continues, he's going to be a Hall of Fame player.
No, I agree with you. I definitely agree with you. And if you remove Aaron Donald from the equation, you got the best defensive lineman in the game as well, and Calais Campbell. I mean, that's a dangerous combination. And it's been proven. If you can bring pressure up the middle on Tom Brady, you can have success. So that's why Calais Campbell is so important in this game.
Exactly. Collapse the pocket and make sure you drive into him. Get his feet rattled. Marcel Darius had a quote earlier in the week, and I totally agree with it. It doesn't, and it matters how many sacks you get on him, but you just have to have him rattle. You get sack him two or three times, but rattle him. Get 10 or more hits, obviously, and that'll definitely do it. And I think the Jags could do it with four, and I'm pretty sure they will, and they'll be able to cover like no other team in the NFL.
We also get Minnesota and Philadelphia this weekend, Brian. I think if I'd have told you at the beginning of the year that the Vikings would get to the NFC Championship game with Case Keenum as their quarterback, you would have laughed. If you'd have told me that, I would have laughed. But it goes a step further than that. We get Nick Foles and Case Keenum from a quarterback perspective. And again, it's that stupid matchup deal. It's not necessarily Keenum going up against Foles, but these are the two quarterbacks leading their teams into an NFC Championship game. It's kind of an oddity. But you mentioned it. Minnesota has the best defense in the NFL, at least in my opinion. I put them slightly above Jacksonville. I think this is a mismatch, really, looking at the NFC title game. I like Minnesota, and I like Minnesota to win this game comfortably.
I do, too. And obviously, I know you know who Nick Foles and Case Keenum are. You've seen a lot of their snaps, and I have, too. And I favor Case Keenum in this matchup.
Me, too.
And I think I'm going to say this. Right now, I think Jacksonville's going to make it, and I think Minnesota's going to make it, and I think it's going to be a 2-0 score in the Super Bowl, so I'm calling it right now, but I definitely think that Case Keenum and the Minnesota Vikings are going to move on.
You know, we talked about Jalen Ramsey and how good he is. Defensively, we look at the Vikings secondary. They're outstanding with Harrison Smith, but don't sleep on Trey Waynes as well. This is a pretty good quarterback in the game. I mean, this kid can play on the outside, and I think we're going to see a combination of, I don't know, Rhodes on Jeffrey. Maybe they go Waynes on Jeffrey. That's a very interesting matchup as well.
Exactly. Xavier Rhodes is pretty good. Trey Waynes, obviously, and Sandejo and Harrison Smith, obviously, that secondary is up there, obviously, with the Jaguars. But yeah, Anthony Barr, Lance Kendricks, just outstanding up and down defensive line. Everson Griffin, this team is just awesome on every level. Secondary, linebackers, defensive line depth, everything. Mike Zimmer has that team brawling right now, and obviously I think they're going to make the Super Bowl and be the first team to host it.
I know you're running out of time. I do have one more question for you before I let you go. We're talking about X factors, okay? We can't sleep on this Philadelphia defense, and that's why Philadelphia has a chance in this game. It's because of what they can bring to the table defensively. On the defensive line, you have Brandon Graham. Can he take advantage of a rather weak matchup with Rashard Hill, who's the right tackle for the Vikings? And then I think you look even deeper into it with the experience of Chris Long. Chris Long has put together a very quietly impressive season for the Eagles, a guy that a lot of people thought was finished. I mean, he leaves New England after winning a Super Bowl. He signs a one-year, very friendly contract with the Philadelphia Eagles. And don't look now, but this defensive line for Philadelphia between Long and Graham, they're pretty good.
Exactly. I agree. But that's why I said at the end of the day, I think it's going to be a comfortable win for the Vikings, but it's going to be a close at the beginning. And at the end, I think Case Keenum outduels Nick Foles in terms of his matchup with that defense. I think Case Keenum has enough time and gets the job done in Philadelphia. I feel like he's going to elevate the Vikings to the Super Bowl.
All right, give me your final scores before I let you go.
Jacksonville 23, New England, I'm going to say 16.
Okay.
23-16. And I'm going to say in the NFC, I'm going to say 17-9.
17-9 Minnesota.
Yeah.
Well, and the NFL's got to be happy that it is Philadelphia in the NFC Championship game, because at least it gives them a week, right, to prepare for the Super Bowl. There for a minute, it looked like Minnesota was going to host every single round. The NFL's never had to deal with that.
Exactly. That's going to be that would have been something to see, and I wish we would have seen it.
Me too.
In the end, obviously, Minnesota. Kudos to them. Kudos to Mike Zimmer. Kudos to that whole organization for getting the Super Bowl and. For in my opinion, making it.
Brian Mejia, our NFL Drive Time Sports Insider. Brian, it's always a pleasure to get you on. We'll talk next week as we preview the Super Bowl.
All right, buddy. Always good to talk to you. Have a good one.
Always good to get you on. Again, that's Brian Mejia taking out the time to talk some NFL football with us. We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, we're going to put the final touches on this Thursday edition. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Beagles.
Back for the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Move quickly today. More local sports coming up. 7 o'clock tonight, we are going to have USU Eastern basketball making its return. I'm excited for tonight's game. It's going to be very entertaining. If you like high-scoring offenses, tonight is the game exactly for you. Big game in the Scenic West Athletic Conference. USU Eastern with an opportunity to guarantee at least a 500 mark after the first of three go-arounds in conference play. Always difficult to go on the road and take on Ephraim, and this has been a rivalry that has been building over the last couple of years. Live coverage is going to begin at 7 o'clock with the Landon's Diesel Service pregame show. I'm going to be joined in the booth tonight by Lauren Miller. Looking forward to that. Again, action is going to begin at 7:30, pregame coverage at 7 o'clock. Now, tomorrow here on Drive Time Sports, it'll be the best of DTS. I'm going to be out of the studio tomorrow, but Monday, right back here in the studio live. And we're going to talk everything NFL. We will know who's going to the Super Bowl on Monday. I think you're really going to enjoy this action this weekend. Some really entertaining football. Jacksonville, New England. I'm going to take the Patriots. I think we got a stellar game, but I'm going to take the Patriots to find a way to win. I'm taking Minnesota over Philly. I think New England goes into Minnesota, knocks off the Vikings in their own home in the Super Bowl. That's what I'm aiming for, at least right now. Jacksonville, however, is a scary, scary team. And if someone can knock off a 40-year-old Tom Brady, it's the Jacksonville Jaguars in their defense. Very entertaining football contest coming up this weekend. You have an absolute safe and stellar week. I will catch you back here on Monday. For Travis Anderson, who was out of the studio today, I am Jordan Buscarini. Make sure you check out the Drive Time Sports podcast, everything on demand at CastleCountryRadio.com, and I'll see you back here tonight for USU Eastern Basketball. Be safe. We are out.